I'm Troy Coverdale, and glad to be joined in our opening half hour today for our usual monthly visit with Kansas State University Veterinary Medicine, and it's Dr. Sue Nelson joining us this morning. Good Monday morning to you, Doctor. How are you?
Yeah, good morning. Thank you. Just waiting for it to get toasty.
Exactly. Welcome to Kansas in the summer, right?
Yeah.
But it does bring up one great point, and that is making sure that our pets are well taken care of and have plenty of water and other resources as the temperatures get high into the 100s.
Yeah, that's going to be extremely important, especially for our outdoor animals and the indoor. But our outdoors, make sure they have plenty of fresh water. So be changing that out a couple times a day. Make sure the food is changed as well. This time of year, it spoils more easily, so be changing it at least twice a day. Make sure that at all times during the day that your pet has some shade to have access to. So look around your yard at different points during the day to make sure that there is always some shade so they can get some relief from the heat.
All good points to be brought up, but as the temperatures increase as well, we start to see that those pets are in vehicles as well,
yes.
and people tend to have them out more often.
They do. We do. We like having our pets with us, and I get that. But this time of year, that can be a very life-threatening situation if they're left in the car, even for a few minutes. Those temperatures can quickly soar in just a few minutes inside that vehicle, even if the windows are cracked. And unfortunately and sadly, we see a lot of, especially dogs, come in on emergency with heat exhaustion, and many of them won't make it. Being in that car too long and getting too hot can shut down their organs and lead to death.
And in fact, I saw a headline this past weekend. While it didn't have to do with pets, it does in another way, and that is that it was an encouragement for people to make sure that they're checking their cars as they climb out. The fear of potentially leaving not a pet, but another child, if you will,
yeah.
Another child in some ways, but a child inside a car, not thinking about the situation. But pets are mm-hmm. very much right there as well.
Exactly. So make sure you're being cautious. Also, besides the car, think about when you're going to take them out for their exercise as well. It's going to be extremely hot this week. Make sure you're doing this during the cooler hours of the day or during the evening. And don't just take account the air temperatures. The humidity also plays a factor when we see our pets overheat as well. So as the humidity levels rise, it's easier for them to become overheated as well.
I was just going to say, depending on the dog or cat, for that matter, even a good haircut can help in this situation.
Yeah, a lot of them do seem to enjoy their haircuts. My main caution there is if they're cut really short, we do see some of them get sunburned. So make sure they're not staying out for prolonged periods of time until that hair starts to grow back in a little bit.
Dr. Sue Nelson again with us from Kansas State University Veterinary Medicine. What are some of the other challenges that our pets face when the temperatures get as hot as they could be forecast this week?
Yeah, well, with the increasing temperatures, you know, parasites are always a problem. So fleas, ticks, mosquitoes, even those nasty little chigger bites that like to bite us, they will bite our pets as well. We'll see the dogs come in with bites between their toes and on their belly, and they will be extremely itchy and a lot of times get a secondary skin infection that we'll need to treat as well. With the mosquitoes comes heartworms. So remember, that's a deadly parasite, primarily of dogs, but our cats can get it as well. And so there are a lot of preventives to help keep them from getting this disease. A lot of these heartworm preventives also help control and deworm for several intestinal parasites as well. And then fleas and ticks are usually a problem as well. So if you don't have your pet started on a flea and tick preventive, you need to get them going now because they are in full force.
With everything that went on in the last year because of the pandemic, a lot of those were not taken care of like they normally are. Those preventives were not a part of our pets' lives so much.
Yeah, so if they, especially for your dogs, if they have been off of heartworm preventive, you'll need to get them into your veterinarian, have them tested before they start their preventive. It's very crucial. We do see heartworm disease in this area. If they do get it, there is treatment, but it is expensive to treat a dog for heartworm, and not all of them will survive their treatment as well.
How many pets are being seen right now that are in need of those preventive treatments because of not making trips into the vet last year?
this time of year is always busy for us because people think about the parasites. So we see tend to see a lot of them through our annual wellness visits anyway. We have some that didn't make it in. I would say a majority of ours, we were able to kind of get them worked in. We did a lot of drop-off appointments, even during COVID. So yes, I don't know if I have a good feel on the percentage, but a lot of people, at least for our clients, were able to keep them on their preventive. Yes, there are some that did not come in because of COVID as well. So hopefully we can get everybody in, get everybody back on track, and get them up to date on their preventives and their vaccines.
It does bring up another point. Things are starting to get back into a flow in everything that we talk about, but especially right now, as we focus on what our pets need, their treatments are starting to get back into normal territories with vet med as well.
Right. In fact, it's not just us. All veterinarians are seeing, I guess this is a good and a bad thing, an overflow of pets because a lot of people adopted pets during COVID. And so it's hard, and it might take a few weeks for your pet to get in to see your veterinarian because everybody's working at max capacity right now. And it also means that we're seeing some shortages in some of the foods and supplies that we use for our patients as well, especially foods, the supply versus demand. It's hard to keep up with the demand that's there right now.
The fact that there were so many pets that were adopted during the course of the past year, what challenges are those owners facing if they haven't been in as much to see their vet thus far?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, coming into the veterinarian, we can get them caught up on their preventives and their vaccines. Probably more of the challenge is a lot of these pets miss their key socialization time. If they were adopted as puppies, they weren't able to get them out, be around a lot of other people and get socialized. And so we are seeing some issues with socialization and interaction with other dogs, other people. And then also separation anxiety for the dogs has become even a bigger issue than we've seen. They've been used to having their owners home all day, working from home. And now all of a sudden their owners are leaving to go back to work. And that's very stressful for them when they're used to having someone home with them. So learning how to gradually get them used to you being away is a big deal right now.
I remember the videos at the start of the pandemic when people were just beginning to work at home, and the pets were overjoyed because of the fact that their friend was there all day. Their
exactly.
buddy was there all day. It was a great change in life for them.
Very much, and especially for the dogs. They're very, very social creatures, and they like their interactions with their humans. So they're sad, they're distressed when they go away for long periods of time when they're used to having them at home.
What a challenge that we don't even think about, really, in so many ways.
Fortunately, there are some things we can do to try to help mitigate that and try to ease that transition. Sometimes it involves prescription medications, but there's some behavior modification techniques that we can use as well.
Again, we're talking with Dr. Sue Nelson with Kansas State University Veterinary Medicine as we make our way into, I hate to say it so early, but the dog days of summer as we, again, head for those temperatures this week, potentially near 100. Along those same lines, as we talk about pets that were being adopted last year, you highlighted a topic as it pertains to kittens that needs to be addressed as well, and that is abandoned kittens. Explain.
Yeah, I might put the abandoned in air quotes because a lot of these kittens aren't abandoned. And so, unfortunately, they get brought into a veterinary clinic as being abandoned, where really the mother's in the process of moving them. She can only move one kitten at a time. Some of these are truly abandoned, or people know the owner has been injured or killed. And so that's a totally different case. But before bringing them into a veterinary, make sure that mom is not there and not caring for them. This time of year, we see a lot of kittens.
The fact that mama can only move one at a time really is a hindrance because of the situation if someone's not paying attention to what the trends are with that mama kitten.
Yeah, and it might take her several hours to get the whole brood moved between hunting and feeding and nursing. So it might take a while for her to get everyone moved.
How do you know when a group has been abandoned?
You know, I think if you definitely haven't seen a mother in sight for 12 to 24 hours, that's going to be a big caution. On a really hot day, if they've been left out, like just out in the middle of the sun, you may need to intervene because some of those kittens, that will be a problem. And usually most mothers just aren't going to leave their kittens out in the open. They're going to have them hidden somewhere in between the hiding process. So those might be some reasons to maybe intervene and help out.
What challenges do kittens like that face if they are removed and brought in to you or to a shelter?
Yeah, well, any young kitten does better if they're nursing from mom. Yes, we have formula, and we can raise a lot of these successfully, but they're generally healthier. They can stay with mom, more socialized if they stay with mom. If there's only one kitten coming in and they're not raised around other cats, they actually become not very good pets sometimes. They don't learn their how not to bite cues and things like that from their siblings. So they can tend to be kind of not a good pet. This time of year, also, there's just so many kittens in the shelters. So I'll make a plug for please spay and neuter your pets as well. We have mobile services that go around and do trap and release services for some of the feral cats and the cat colonies around, and that will help curtail some of that as well.
I think people would be surprised as well how much food a kitten really does eat at this point.
Yeah, they do eat. And when they come in real young, they require feeding every 2 to 3 hours. And quite frankly, it's hard to find enough foster people to foster all the kittens that tend to come into the shelters and things.
A friend of mine joked that they've got a tennis ball with claws right now in one of their kittens.
Yeah, that's a good description.
We're talking with Dr. Sue Nelson with Kansas State Veterinary Medicine, and more with the doctor when we continue in a moment. Troy Coverdale in for Brandon Peoples this Monday on KMAN's In Focus.